Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast, hosted by Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, we desire to equip you to defend the Bible and historic Christianity because truth matters. To find out more about Hank Hanegraaff or one of his resources, go to our website at www.equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Speaking of special resources, we put together a special package for those who support the work of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast this month. It is the Creation Answer Book and a special Origins edition of the Christian Research Journal. The Christian Research Journal is an award-winning magazine. This special issue is absolutely stunning. And the Creation Answer Book serves to demonstrate conclusively that the evolutionary hypothesis is no longer tenable in an age of scientific enlightenment. In fact, the Cambrian explosion, biology's Big Bang, has uprooted Darwin's tree of life. And in the modern era of scientific enlightenment, it is untenable to suppose that something as seemingly simple as a human tear evolved through unguided, purposeless processes. Furthermore, the Creation Answer Book addresses questions that routinely stumble seekers and solidify skeptics in opposition to a biblical worldview. Finally, the Creation Answer Book delves into one of the most controversial debates in all of Christianity, the debate about the Earth's age. In my previous books, I left that issue on the back burner. In this book, I tackle that issue head on. The Creation Answer Book is designed not only to answer questions, but also to equip you to read the Bible in the sense in which it's intended. And therefore, when you read that God walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, you will not for a moment suppose that Moses intended to communicate that God had literal feet. Or when you read that God asked Adam, "Where are you?" you will not for a moment question God's omniscience. So if you're a believer, you will be prepared to give an answer for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect, and if not, you'll have ample evidence to believe that the opening words of Scripture, "In the beginning God," correspond to the age of scientific enlightenment in which you find yourself. Again, the Creation Answer Book and the Special Origins Edition of the Christian Research Journal available as a package for your gift in support of the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. We will now go directly to our calls. As always, the number to dial to get your call, your question answered live on air, 888-ASK. Hank translates to 888-275-4265. One other thing before we go to our callers, and that is our contact information. Again, on the web, it's equip.org. Via the mail, it's Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, and via the telephone, as always, it's 888-7000 in the letters CRI. First up today is Dennis. He's listening in Houston, Texas, on the World Wide Web. Hi, Dennis.
Hello, Hank. Thanks for your ministry. I'm a Christian artist, music artist, and I'm wondering, how do we reconcile earning money from record sales if the gospel is supposed to be given freely? And also, one other question is that I hear a lot of Bible teachers talk about stewardship in the New Testament. I'm wondering if this is biblical, and if so, does my tithes and offerings have to go to a church, or can they go to fund my own music ministry or anyone else's ministry that I wanted to give money to?
Yeah, well, first of all, remember, though the gospel is free, someone has to put in the plumbing. In other words, it takes resources to do anything. And if you want to pursue the particular career that you're pursuing, one of the ways you can do that is through selling the music products that you develop. And through those resources, you can invest in developing more of your musical talent for the glory of God and for the extension of His kingdom. So there's absolutely nothing wrong with selling what you have. I mean, a workman is worthy of his wages, and certainly you would be in that category in this particular circumstance. Secondly, let me say this, that as far as stewardship is concerned, this is the New Testament principle. We are called to hold everything we have with an open hand so that God can take out and put in as He sees fit. Tithing is but a means towards this very practice. It is learning to depend upon the arm of God as opposed to depending upon the arm of flesh, and as such, it has been rightly called the training wheels of giving or the training wheels towards stewardship, where you recognize that you simply cannot outgive the Lord.
Okay. So do you think that then stewardship, that I could still give towards any ministry, doesn't have to go? Well, the reason why I'm asking is I went to a Word of Faith church, and I left that church in light of your ministry, listening to your ministry and finding out true truth. And so we decided not to give our tithes to that church any longer. And so I'm wondering, could I support any other ministry that, you know, maybe I chose to, or even, like I said, fund my own ministry?
Well, let me give you the basic principle. The basic principle is that the church is the God-ordained vehicle through which we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, through which we experience oneness, and through which we are equipped to go out and impact the world. So I think the church should be a primary place of support. But having said that, I think that ultimately, just as you, if you were investing in a company, you would do your research and you would make sure that your investment is really a wise investment. And I think when we exercise stewardship principles with respect to the kingdom, we want to do the same thing. We want to invest in ministries that are bearing abundant, abiding fruit. Ministries that God has ordained and opened up a fruitful door of ministry for. This is a wise stewardship investment for kingdom purposes, indeed for the consummation of the kingdom, which was inaugurated by Jesus Christ during His first coming and will be consummated when He appears a second time.
Okay, thank you, Hank.
You got it, Dennis. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Peter in Hastings, Nebraska. Peter's listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Peter.
Hi. The question I have for you is that my wife is divorcing me. The divorce is supposed to be final tomorrow. And the question is it okay for me to remarry?
Well, if an unbeliever is not willing to stay in the relationship, the believer is not bound in that circumstance, as indicated by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. So the answer would be yes. If she is an unbeliever leaving the relationship, you're not bound in that circumstance. Now, having said that, the greatest good always comes when you leave open the door for possible reconciliation, because that becomes the greatest of all testimonies to the world. But remember, forgiveness is always a two-way street. It takes someone who is willing to forgive. It also takes someone who is wanting to be forgiven. Without that two-way process, reconciliation never takes place.
Right. I understand that. Now, you mentioned that if she's an unbeliever, that I'm not bound anymore. She claims to be a believer.
Well, there's a big difference between a said faith and a real faith. Anyone can say that they're a follower of Jesus Christ, but followers of Jesus Christ live as apprentices of Jesus Christ. They live their lives in concert with His will, His way, and His purposes. And of course, the Bible's very emphatic that we shouldn't seek a divorce. Now, there are some cases in which there are activities that take place within a marriage that rise to the level of desertion or adultery, and that then make divorce a possibility. But even there, We should always seek, as I mentioned in just a few moments ago, we should always seek to work towards reconciliation. So if she is genuinely a believer, that's her heart, that's her goal, that's what she wants to strive towards. If there are no compelling reasons to get a divorce, we shouldn't get a divorce. And when I talk about compelling reasons, I'm talking about reasons that would have a biblical basis for ending the relationship.
Right. Well, I mean, she cites, I talked to her yesterday, she cites a number of different reasons, you know, that she wants out of the relationship. But initially, I committed a sin about 12 years ago that I confessed a couple of years ago. And I guess it would run along the lines of being sexually immoral. And that was her initial reason.
Right. But even here, I mean, if we sin, we confess our sins and know that God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if God is willing to forgive us of our sins, we ought to be willing to forgive one another as well. That is not an easy thing to do, because when there's marital infidelity, there's a breach of trust, and it's very hard to regain or rebuild that trust. But this is the kind of thing, this is the pattern, this is the example of living the crucified life. We're living not by the world's standards. We're not living for temporary fixes. We're living for eternal verities. So even in that kind of a circumstance, we shouldn't invoke an escape clause, we should invoke the opportunity to exercise the principles of the kingdom.
Right, I agree. Well, I appreciate your time and your answer, and I'll just take it a day at a time.
Yes, and let me also say that there was a tremendous article in the Christian Research Journal titled Biblical Grounds for Divorce and Remarriage, which is up on the World Wide Web at equip.org, and I would really commend that to your reading.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, I'll look at that.
Blessings, Peter. Thank you for your call. May the Lord bless your life and use even the tragedies of your life for His purposes and for His glory and ultimately for the extension of His kingdom. I mean, the beautiful thing in the Christian life is that God can take even the difficult circumstances and use them for good in the lives of those who are God's people and are called according to His purposes.
Thank you, Hank.
You got it, Peter. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Melvin next in Dallas, Texas, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Melvin.
How you doing, Hank?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I have a question for you regarding faith healing. If I'm studying the Bible correctly, I'm noticing that in the book of Acts is where you seem to see the biggest event or the biggest portion of faith healing. And I felt like it was just to give validity to the gospel. And then I believe when you get into the epistles, you don't really have as much, or really don't see them as much, as see that much faith healing. And so I was just wondering what you thought about that.
Well, certainly Jesus and the disciples are in a unique category as the cornerstone of the church and the foundation of the church. And therefore, their encounters with evil, with Satan, with diseases and sicknesses, the maladies of this world, are encounters that are going to be altogether other than the encounters that we have, because we are neither Christ nor are we those upon whom the foundation of the Christian church is built, or those who comprise the foundation of the Christian church. So we can say that, yes, those miracles, those cases of deliverance attest to who they are. And therefore, what they're doing is not normative. The normative state of the human condition is that we all get sick, and eventually we all die. The death rate is one per person. We're all going to make it. It's not until Jesus appears a second time that a new order of things is ushered in, an order in which there's no more death, mourning, crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Behold, then everything becomes new. So we are looking forward to what we do not as yet have, and we are waiting for it patiently. In the meantime, because the miracles of Christ attest to Christ, and the miracles of the apostles attest to their authority, we can test all things in light of what they have written and hold fast to the good. One other quick appended note, and that is that faith healing has a prostituted sense of what faith is in most circumstances to begin with. To the faith healers in the modern church, faith is a force. Words are the containers of the force, and through the force of faith, one can create their own reality. Biblically, faith is a channel of living trust between an individual and their God, and therefore faith is only as good as the object in whom it will be placed. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
The things we accumulate over our lifetimes, money, personal possessions, and property, are simply gifts from God, entrusted to us to manage as His servants. When we as Christians create a will or trust, what we're really doing is planning to transfer stewardship of what God has entrusted us to others. For many of us, this may be one of the most important acts of stewardship we will ever undertake. We've made special arrangements for you to explore this stewardship responsibility. Visit our website at equiplegacy.org/EPO. There you will find the estate plan organizer. To learn more, go to equiplegacy.org/EPO. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return after this. God wants you to know true financial freedom, to live a life that is fully at peace, no longer under the weight of worry over money, to know deep within you are truly secure. Yet there's only one way to find the real and lasting security you long for. Secure is a powerful and personal book by Hank Hanegraaff's close friend Rick Dunham. And Rick shows you through his dramatic personal journey how real financial security isn't found in the amount of your paycheck, how many possessions you have, or the size of your portfolio. And Secure is our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call today to request your copy of Secure and experience the financial freedom, personal peace, and genuine security God desires for your life. Call 888-7000-CRI. Have you ever wanted to listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast on your phone or handheld device? Now you can with the Equip iPhone app available for free from the Christian Research Institute. With the Equip iPhone app, you can take the Bible Answer Man with you wherever you go. Listen to the broadcast live, listen to archived programs, 3-minute Ask Hank features, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. All of this available for free from the Christian Research Institute. So go online to equip.org and click on the Equip iPhone app banner and download this free app today. Or go to equip.org/app. That's equip.org/app. The Equip iPhone app is compatible with iPhone 5, iPhone 4, 4S, 3GS, iPad, iPod Touch, and requires iOS 6. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many. The gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death.
Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. Secure is the personal and powerful story of Hank Hanegraaff's close friend, Rick Dunham. And it's a book that shows how you can discover real security based on something besides your paycheck, possessions, or portfolio. Secure is our thank you for your donation to help CRI create more broadcast books and other resources that share the essential truths of Christianity. Your partnership matters, so please call 888-7000-CRI to give your gift and request your copy of Secure today. 888-7000-CRI. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Don listening in Garrett Park, Maryland, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Don.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Okay. I hope you can help me. I'm afraid that I've lost my salvation. I see verses like in Hebrews 6, verses 4 through 6, and Hebrews 10. And I went to a very charismatic church when I was 16, and they said things like, well, if God has your hand, you can let go, and this kind of thing, and that if you had unconfessed sin in your life, and you died, you would go to hell, and this kind of thing. And you know, I'm not blaming anybody else for my sin. It was my fault that I walked away from the Lord. I was just in despair, you know, because I knew I can't keep it on my own. And you know, I went out and I went back to the world and my old sin, and I was like a dog returning to its vomit. And then I came back in my early 20s and started going to church and repented and. I'm just wondering, is it possible for a believer to lose their salvation?
Well, remember, Don, that the notion of losing your salvation from a historical standpoint or committing the unpardonable sin is not an act. It is a continuous, willful, ongoing rejection and rebellion. So it's not as though it's something you did that you cannot undo. Rather, what is always true is that if you are willing to recognize that you're a sinner and repent of your sin and receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, He awaits you with open arms. So as long as you are in the flesh and you desire a relationship with Jesus Christ, Christ is not going to turn you away. So you haven't committed the unforgivable sin, and therefore you can return to your Savior and begin to grow as a learner or follower of Jesus Christ, because ultimately Christianity is not merely mental assent to logical truth propositions. It is becoming a learner or follower of Jesus Christ. So it's not only recognizing that the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ is laid to your account, but recognizing that you can partake of the imparted life of Christ. And therefore, it's not so much a changed life that directs us, but an exchanged life that becomes our reality, the life of Jesus Christ within us, the crucified life. I no longer live, but Christ lives within me. So again, there's nothing that precludes you from responding to the wooing of the Holy Spirit, even if you weren't a believer in the present, even if you thought that you had walked away from the faith. You can still, in the present, receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of your life. It may be that you had a said faith as opposed to a real faith. I don't really know the details. What I do know is if at this moment you recognize that you're a sinner, you're willing to repent of your sin and receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, then He will not only impute His righteousness to you, but He will give you His life so that you can truly partake of the indwelling Spirit as you move through the tangled web of human existence.
What about the verses in Hebrews like 6, 4 through 6 and 10, 26?
Yeah, well, those verses, first of all, you recognize are written from the perspective of Hebrews or Jews. And in the case of Hebrews chapter 6, to fall away refers to a Jew who falls back into Judaism or bondage to the law already fulfilled through Jesus Christ. So what does that demonstrate? It demonstrates that they had a said faith as opposed to having a real faith. As far as Hebrews chapter 10 is concerned, the writer of Hebrews says, if we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sin is left, only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Now remember that faith is more than mere knowledge. Faith is knowledge. Added to that knowledge is agreement, and then trust, which is to say it is knowledge, agreement, and trust. By way of illustration, you could know you were sick and a medicine could cure you, so you could know about that medicine. You could agree it's cured others, but unless you took it yourself, you'd be demonstrating that you didn't really trust it. There are people in the context of Hebrews who have a knowledge, but they don't have a living, dynamic relationship because they have not truly depended on Jesus Christ alone. So again, going back to what I said before, if you are even now depending on Jesus Christ for everlasting life, then you have everlasting life because our righteousness is not a righteousness of our own, says Paul in Philippians chapter 3, but it is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's a foreign righteousness, not of our own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ.
Because it does say in John 6 that all that comes to me, I will never drive away.
Well, that's right. And God is not seeking obstacles to keep you out of the kingdom. He has done all imaginable such that we could be reconciled to him for time and for eternity.
So as long as I'm living and breathing, there's hope for me.
Well, there's hope at this very moment. As long as you have breath, you can turn to the lover of your soul. If you desire a relationship with him, he's not looking for a technicality to keep you out of the kingdom. I can tell you that.
Okay.
Do you believe what I'm saying?
Yes.
Well, what you need to do is test what I'm saying in light of Scripture, because it's not my word, it is the word of God. But what I'm saying to you is absolutely underscored in the living word of God.
Because if you ask for faith, surely, if you ask for faith and mercy, surely he will give it, won't he?
Absolutely. And if you think of the great patriarchs and their horrendous sins, which are not airbrushed in the word of God, but forthrightly communicated in the word of God, when they sought forgiveness, David going so far as to murder someone, be involved in an adulterous relationship, trust in the arm of flesh instead of the arm of the Lord by taking a census, and on it goes. God still forgave David. And David is an exemplar to us as Israel's quintessential king to this very day. Not only so, but he was forgiven in the midst of his sin because he confessed his sin sincerely, and we must never forget that the sin he paid a heavy price for, because the text says that the sword never left his home. So we cannot sin with impunity because there are consequences to our sin. But will God forgive? Can he forgive? Does he desire to forgive? Of course he does.
Amen.
Okay?
Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
You got it. May you go with peace in your heart. Back to the phone lines. Want to talk next to Justin. He's listening in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, CHRB. Hi, Justin.
Hey, Hank. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, thanks. One question is, I heard somebody say that the four major prophets, Daniel, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, and Isaiah, were all alive at some point at the same time. Is that true?
No, I don't think that the stretch of their lifespans would permit it.
Okay, because I heard that Jeremiah would have been young, and Ezekiel was the oldest, and Isaiah was fairly old as well, and then Daniel was also young, and at some point they were all alive at the same time. So that's not accurate.
No, I don't think so, because of the time that Isaiah prophesied. I think that that epoch of time would preclude that possibility.
Oh, okay. 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 I did have one other question. I don't know if you have time or not. Do you have time for it?
Yeah, go ahead.
In the Bible, it talks about seven different baptisms, and I'm just wondering, like, baptism into body, baptism into suffering, baptism into fire, baptism of the Holy Spirit, baptism into the cloud, water baptism. How do you go about finding more about what those mean for us today?
Well, context is always determinative, and if you go to each one of the passages and you look at the context tells you what is in view. And this is a great object lesson, the question that you're asking, in that we need to always interpret words and phrases in the context in which they're used. So the word God, for example, can be used in many different ways. The word God can apply to Satan. He is the God of this world. It can apply to the representatives of God, to the people, though they are not ontologically God, and it can apply to God himself. But the context determines what is in view, and the same thing is true with the idea of baptism. You can have a baptism by fire, and that is a far different thing from being baptized as the first act of obedience as a believer, by which you're set apart. So the context in each one of the cases that you mentioned will tell you the meaning of what is in view in the particular kind of baptism that is being communicated within the context of Scripture. We do want to mention as we go to break that the Christian Research Institute is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. And one of the best ways of supporting this ministry is by becoming a monthly Bible Answer Man support team member. If you see the life-changing impact that the Christian Research Institute is having around the world, please prayerfully consider joining the monthly Bible Answer Man support team. For your monthly gift of $25 or more, you'll receive a personalized copy of my book, The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. Again, that becomes my way of saying thank you for joining a team of people that are making an impact around the world. And by the way, if you are an existing team member, if you could help us out this month with an extra gift, it would make us just a world of difference as we're trying to close up a funding gap that we have in the present. So please consider doing that prayerfully and financially. Also want to mention that I'm going to be speaking a couple of different places this weekend. I'll be in Utah. If you're out in Utah, I'd love to see you. I'll be speaking at the Summer Vision Banquet for Utah Partnerships for Christ and AM 820. You can find out how you can attend. Just go to www.upfc.org or just go to the World Wide Web at equip.org. Also, I'll be speaking Sunday morning in Utah at South Mountain Community Church at their various campuses, Draper and South Jordan. So you can check that out on the World Wide Web as well. And then also, I'm going to be in Pinehurst, North Carolina, not all that far from where I am right now. 7 to 8:30 p.m., speaking on the topic of universalism, do all paths lead to God? That takes place Wednesday, August 14th. Again, you can check that out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions. To dial in your question live, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK.
We often look for security in places where it can't be found, in money, our career, or our health. That's why CRI's broadcasts are so powerful, as they help people discover the real security that's found in Jesus. But we can't do it without your help. Your generous support today helps us reach more lives with God's Word. And in thanks for your gift, we'll send you a copy of Secure by Rick Dunham to help you clearly see the security Christ freely offers you. So please request your copy of Secure by calling 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. We'll return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast right after this. God wants you to know true financial freedom. To live a life that is fully at peace, no longer under the weight of worry over money. To know deep within you are truly secure. Yet there's only one way to find the real and lasting security you long for. Secure is a powerful and personal book by Hank Hanegraaff's close friend Rick Dunham. And Rick shows you through his dramatic personal journey how real financial security isn't found in the amount of your paycheck, how many possessions you have, or the size of your portfolio. And Secure is our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call today to request your copy of Secure and experience the financial freedom, personal peace, and genuine security God desires for your life. Call 888-7000-CRI. Have you ever wanted to listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast on your phone or handheld device? Now you can with the Equip iPhone app available for free from the Christian Research Institute. With the Equip iPhone app, you can take the Bible Answer Man with you wherever you go. Listen to the broadcast live, listen to archived programs, 3-minute Ask Hank features, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. All of this available for free from the Christian Research Institute. So go online to equip.org and click on the Equip iPhone app banner and download this free app today. Or go to equip.org/app. That's equip.org/app. The Equip iPhone app is compatible with iPhone 5, iPhone 4, 4S, 3GS, iPad, iPod Touch, and requires iOS 6. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. Have you ever wanted to listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast on your phone or handheld device? Now you can with the Equip iPhone app available for free from the Christian Research Institute. With the Equip iPhone app, you can listen to the broadcast live, listen to archived programs, 3-minute Ask Hank features, and read articles to help you learn and defend the faith. So go to equip.org/app and download this free app today. Again, that's equip.org/app. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And let's go right back to the phone callers. Yeah, next in Kansas City, Kansas, listening on BART Radio. Hi.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Hi, I really appreciate your ministry, Hank. My question today is just, I just wanted some clarification on John, on the passage of John chapter 6, verses 48 to 58, about mm-hmm. Jesus being the bread of life. What exactly did Jesus mean when he said to that we must eat of his flesh and drink of his blood?
Well, Jesus Christ here is talking very specifically about the fact that he is everlasting life, which is to say that those who have faith in him have everlasting life. And so he's not the staff of life. He's the stuff of life. He is the essence of life. And of course, when he augments that in very clear prose, he says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. And of course, that entails belief, as Jesus goes on to say, for my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So the eating and drinking is a way of talking about placing your faith in Jesus Christ.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that's pretty much just answered my question. Thank you for your time, Hank.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. Tracy next, listening in Illinois, WVEL. Hi, Tracy.
Hi, Hank. How you doing? Appreciate your ministry. Glad to get to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you.
A little backstory. I've been a Christian since I was in high school, and for many years I believed in the left behind style of rapture belief. And in around 2000, around the year 2000, I started to realize it didn't seem right. And then I figured out kind of what I believe. And then when your book, The Apocalypse Code, came out, it basically reinforced what I do. My gut feeling was that the what I was hearing wasn't right, and I really appreciate you writing that book.
Thank you.
And what I called about today was something of modern, the newest thing to come on the market, which you mentioned yesterday, The Harbinger. And I've read it. I saw a video about it first, and I've read it. And I believe also that it's a newspaper theology, and it's sensationalism again, but I do have a question about it. Isn't it possible, since the Bible shows us principles about how God works, the same yesterday, today, and forever, isn't it possible that Isaiah 9 is a blueprint for how he judges nations? And if not, how does he judge nations today?
Well, I think certainly it is true that this is a principle that can be applied in general. But Isaiah 9:10 does not have to do with the 21st century. The prophet warned of coming judgment upon the unrepentant people of the northern kingdom of Israel, and their day of reckoning came to pass in 722 when the Assyrian hordes took them into exile, when the northern kingdom was destroyed. And then later judgment, of course, came on the southern kingdom. But I don't think that we can take this now and make it a blueprint for saying that what happened then is going to be exactly what happens to other nations when they rebel. I don't think we have the warrant or the prophetic prowess to say that. Can we say in principle blessings for those who follow and cursings for those who rebel? Yes. But I don't think that we can make the direct application such that 9/11 was God's judgment on modern-day America. Certainly, there is a consequence to sin, and we face those consequences, but we dare not go beyond what the Bible says or take something that has nothing to do with the 21st century and then project the words of Isaiah into the 21st century. We can take the pattern, we can take the principle, but we can't take the text and say this has to do with the modern epic.
Okay, so it's taken, the person who's writing the book is taking that isolated incident and making it chapter and verse the same today, instead of just taking the principle involved and realizing that it's blessings for those who follow God and not for the other.
Yeah, and when the Lord talks about the Tower of Siloam, he makes very clear that we shouldn't make the application that that is not a prerogative that we have.
That's true. Well, that's good. I wanted to hear that. Could I ask another quick one, or do you have to go on to the next person?
No, go for it.
Well, You just talked to a person earlier tonight about losing their salvation. And I read in your Bible answer book, you have three beliefs out there, and you approach the one that you believe is that God, you won't lose your salvation. But I have a question about those who walk away, because you say that God won't drag unbelievers into heaven kicking and screaming, but if you did become a believer like I did, and then I truly strayed away to the point where I renounced God, during that time, wouldn't it be wrong for God to drag me kicking and screaming into heaven if I had renounced him, or is he still going to force me into heaven?
Well, a couple of things. One is, I acknowledge that the view that you just communicated, apostasy, which is a legitimate view that someone can walk away from the faith. It's a legitimate view that Christians have. I simply don't agree with that, because I think that what happens in the biblical principle is that when you come to faith in Christ, you receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It is laid to your account. But it's not just a head trip. What happens when you come to faith in Christ, you also receive the imparted life of Christ. In other words, you no longer live, but Christ lives in you. And as a result of that, the one living within you is daily conforming you to his image, such that he not only justifies you, but he is sanctifying you and will one day glorify you. And therefore, the one who begins the good work in you will bring that work to full completion.
So do you believe that during the time I renounced God, that that was possibly going so far away that God may have had to call me home before I did more damage?
Well, I don't know. I can't deal with the anecdote, because I can't take anecdotes, because I simply don't know all the details. Only God has a comprehensive knowledge of the details. I mean, it may very well be that you had a said faith rather than a real faith, that you made a mental assent to logical truth propositions, but you never really received the imparted life of Jesus Christ. And like I say, Christianity is not only imputation of the life of Christ, it is the impartation of the life of Christ. It's not just assent to the truth of the gospel, it is embracing the reality of the crucified life.
Well, I know that now I've really turned around, and God's really done a lot in my life, so I know I'm a believer now. And I was just always curious about that, because I felt that if when I renounced God, he would have dragged me kicking and screaming into heaven, and I just seemed to go against what you teach on that, and I didn't understand how to reconcile that.
Yeah, and again, I don't think that God ever compromises our will. He puts a huge premium on the will. If we will not, then we are those who God says to in the end, "Thy will be done. You don't want a relationship with me, I'll ratify that for eternity." Conversely, those who bow the knee and say, "Thy will be done," God ratifies that choice that we make, because we have now responded to the wooing of the Holy Spirit and received the imputation of his life and the impartation of his life.
Well, I just wanted to know, in all the readings of yours and the hearing on the radio, these are the only two subjects I ever had what you call a disagreement or concern about. So I really like your ministry, and I appreciate all that you do.
Well, and Tracy, I'm so happy that you're looking at these things critically, because there are, within the pale of orthodoxy, different views from the view that I hold, which is to say, there are those who say that you can apostatize, that you can walk away from the faith, and that is a legitimate view within evangelical Christianity, and therefore we can take that issue and debate it vigorously without dividing over it. Ultimately, though a very significant issue, it still remains a secondary issue.
That's true. I appreciate that. I agree with that. That's right. All right, well, thanks a lot. I appreciate your ministry again.
You got it, Tracy. Thank you for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Lynn, Gastonia, North Carolina, WTRU. Hi, Lynn.
Fine. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Some friends of mine have said that if we're following Jesus, we need to do what Jesus did. And since Jesus was Jewish, he practiced Judaism. So we should be at least somewhat observant, Torah observant, you know, fixed prayers and observing feasts and the Sabbath. What do you say to that?
Yeah, what I say to that is what the writer of Hebrews would say to you. If you read through the book of Hebrews, you find that the clear truth is communicated that to go back to types and shadows when the ultimate sacrificial lamb has fulfilled those types and shadows is tantamount to trampling upon the sacred blood of Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ comes into an epoch of time in which the temple sacrifices are being followed. But Jesus says, I am the living temple in your midst. And therefore, he's pointing to himself, not to luminous limestone or glistening gold. He's pointing to himself and saying, I am the sacrificial lamb. And thus, when the sacrificial lamb comes, there's no need for perpetuating temple, priest, and sacrifice. The problem in his day is that this is precisely what the teachers of the law wanted to do. They wanted to perpetuate their traditions, though they had been fulfilled through Jesus Christ. And that is what is ultimately the great crime. It is not recognizing that the living temple fulfills the promises, fulfills the type and shadow that was first given with the tabernacle and later manifested in the temple. So when the substance comes, we have to leave the shadow behind. Doesn't mean that there is not historical significance or meaning that can be garnered, but we should not go back to type and shadow when the ultimate sacrificial lamb has come. I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour once we go off the air, continue answering your calls right here on the Bible Answer Men broadcast. You can call this number for the next hour, and I'll continue answering your questions. 888-ASK-HANK, that translates to 888-275-4265. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer difficult Bible questions, and strengthen believers in their walk with the Lord. To find resources to help equip you, log on to equip.org. That's equip.org, or call us at 888-7000-CRI. Feel free to write us also at CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. God wants you to know true financial freedom, to live a life that is fully at peace, no longer under the weight of worry over money, to know deep within you are truly secure. Yet there's only one way to find the real and lasting security you long for.
Secure is a powerful and personal book by Hank Hanegraaff's close friend Rick Dunham. And Rick shows you through his dramatic personal journey how real financial security isn't found in the amount of your paycheck, how many possessions you have, or the size of your portfolio. And Secure is our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call today to request your copy of Secure and experience the financial freedom, personal peace, and genuine security God desires for your life. Call 888-7000-CRI.